Demand for lithium is soaring across the world. Our colleague Ryan Dubay has been writing about it.
So lithium is a very light metal. It's used for several different things, from, you know, making glass to in x-ray machines. It's used in concrete as well. And it's also used in smartphones.
And one of the things it's needed for the most, electric vehicles.
Electric vehicles have begun their ascent.
40 million electric vehicles are going to be sold by 2025.
Everybody's trying to build their electric cars.
Everybody that's in the EV space.
EV market.
EVs.
EVs.
I love EVs.
South America, and Chile in particular, have some of the world's biggest reserves of lithium. But as the EV market ramps up, getting lithium out of the region is proving to be difficult. There's fierce opposition from local communities, and there's concern about whether enough of the mining profits will remain in the region. It's all creating a giant bottleneck.
So South America, it's not, essentially not developing the lithium at a pace that the world needs it. If there is interest in doing this transition to cleaner energy, to greener technology, to kind of get away from fossil fuels, then the world will need lithium. And this is where, you know, it'll come from South America. A good portion of it will come from South America. So it's pretty important what is going on down here.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Tuesday, August 16th. Coming up on the show, can South America produce the lithium the world needs?
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Around 55% of the world's lithium deposits can be found in a place called the Lithium Triangle in South America.
So the Lithium Triangle refers to an area about the size of California. It's located in kind of western South America. So it includes a portion of northern Chile, a portion of western Bolivia, and then kind of northwestern Argentina. And this is all, you know, deserty country. And the lithium in this area is found in salt flats, underneath the salt flat in brines in the salty water.
Of the three countries in the Lithium Triangle, Chile produces the most. But when it was discovered there in the 1960s, people didn't think much of it.
So back in the 1970s, during the dictatorship of Pinochet, lithium was valuable, but for a different reason. Lithium was used for making nuclear bombs, essentially. During the Cold War, the Pinochet military dictatorship decided to classify lithium as a strategic resource. So that makes it more difficult for private companies to come into Chile to mine lithium and to export it, essentially. It's much more government control over lithium.
But in the last decade, the value of lithium has soared. Since the start of 2021, lithium prices are up 750%.
Lithium is seen as the next oil. It's seen as an economic bonanza, a really important resource for the development of the countries.
And Ryan says that if you think of lithium as the next oil, then the Lithium Triangle, in Chile in particular, are like Saudi Arabia. Chile has a lot of lithium, but it only has two mines. It hasn't opened a new one in 30 years. One of the reasons it's been so hard to mine in Chile is because of environmental concerns. Lithium is found in salty underground water, and in order to get the metal, miners have to pump the water out into these large ponds and wait for it to evaporate. Scientists worry that extracting all this water from underground can also affect water on the surface, like in nearby lagoons.
A lot of the communities are concerned about the use of water. There's concerns that lithium mining, because it is taking this brine out of the, you know, pumping out salt water from underneath the ground, that has an impact on the lagoons in the nearby area. You know, also lots of different wildlife, flamingos, for example.
Mining companies say they monitor some of the lagoons alongside indigenous residents and that their operations don't affect them. When companies have tried to open new mines in Chile, they've often been met with local opposition. One recent example happened earlier this year when a Chinese automaker named BYD tried to build one.
BYD is a large Chinese electric vehicle company, automaker. They came into Chile hoping to mine for lithium because there is this supply issue that car companies are having trouble getting enough lithium, so some car companies are starting to get directly involved in it.
In January, the Chilean government awarded BYD a contract to produce 80,000 tons of lithium, which the company planned to use in its electric vehicles. But when BYD tried to start work, there were protests.
There were protests, lots of opposition from politicians in Chile as well. And two indigenous communities, you know, they filed a lawsuit to try to overturn it. And then in June, the Supreme Court ruled that the government should have consulted with indigenous communities. And because it did not do that, then the auction was thrown out.
So what does that mean for BYD, that they lost this government contract and are no longer able to build this mine? Are they going to get their money back that they spent in the auction?
They sent in a proposal for what they do, so I don't think they spent any money on that project. Because it is essentially, you know, they said, we will be willing to spend this amount of money. And the government gave, a contract to them. But almost immediately after, they hadn't sent up any machinery. They didn't have any equipment up there at all. It was just immediately kind of suspended. So it just kind of shows, though, I think, the difficulty in trying to advance projects.
So what is it that the indigenous people who live in these areas want the lithium miners to do? Just stop and go away?
No, I don't think they're looking to have the current operation stop and go away. But I think they are concerned about expanding it further, to have lots of new mines come in. So they already feel kind of the stress on the water, and they just have, and it is, just to repeat, it's not only the lithium mines in that area, it's lots of copper mines as well that are located there. Chile is the biggest copper producer in the world by far. So they're concerned just about an expansion of mining in general and what kind of impact that'll have on the environment.
Chileans aren't just concerned about the environment, though. They're also worried about foreign companies coming in and extracting the country's resources and not benefiting the Chilean economy. Chile's new president, Gabriel Boric, has been attuned to all these worries. He took office in March as the BYD mining company situation was coming to a head.
Gabriel Boric came into office. He's 35 years old when he ran for office, 36 now. I believe one of the youngest presidents in Chile's history. Very much focused on the environment, on community kind of relations, those kind of aspects. So the environmental aspect was a huge issue for him and his campaign. So he came in and said, we need to basically really have a strong focus on the environment. And we also really need to make sure that this lithium, that we're taking full advantage of it and that we can benefit from it. And then, we'll be able to help the world transition to cleaner energy.
Boric's initial idea was to create a state-owned lithium mining company that could reap economic benefits without harming the environment. But relying on a state-run lithium company has its challenges, too. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
To make sure foreign investors don't devour Chile's lithium resources, the country's been talking about launching a state-run mining company. But its neighbor, Bolivia, shows how difficult that path can be. The Bolivian government nationalized lithium mining in 2008. The president at the time, Evo Morales, said he wanted to turn Bolivia into a powerhouse for battery and electric vehicle production. And rather than let in foreign companies to mine, Bolivia decided to do it itself.
So they created a state lithium company, they nationalized lithium, which basically prevented private companies from being involved in production.
Morales talked about how, centuries earlier, Spaniards had exploited silver from the region to the detriment of locals. He said he didn't want the same thing to happen with lithium.
We're not going to repeat the mistakes of the past where, you know, foreigners come in and invest in our minerals and take the wealth and go, and we remain, you know, essentially poor. So Bolivia is the poorest country, one of the poorest countries in Latin America. So it has this long history of, you know, kind of feeling that outsiders have come in and reaped the benefits of our minerals, and now it's our turn to do so on our own.
When the Bolivian government set out to mine, local communities thought it would create a big economic boom.
So in the town of Rio Grande, which is a town located on the edge of the salt flat, a lot of people expected a lot of jobs and development. They expected the roads to be paved. They expected new hospitals to be created. They expected that they might even be able to work in the mine by transporting the minerals at some other capacity. We spoke with one man who had built a hotel, opened a hotel called the Hotel Lithium. And he was expecting...
Very on the nose.
Very on the nose, yeah. So he was expecting an influx of, you know, business people. And he thought, you know, he'd have a good opportunity to benefit that way. Today, you know, that hotel is empty. There's no one's coming in there.
Bolivia's decision to nationalize lithium mining hasn't gone well. Years after the country opened its first state-run factory in 2013, production is virtually non-existent. In 2021, it took Bolivia an entire year to produce as much lithium as other countries can in a day and a half.
They have spent about $1 billion, a little bit under $1 billion, on a factory up in the Uyuni Salt Flat, it's called, which is about 12,000 feet in altitude, way up in the Andes, very remote area, very poor area as well. And they invested a lot of money in it, and so far they haven't been able to really produce any meaningful amounts. So that prevents them from benefiting from the taxes that this mining could produce.
One of the main reasons for this is lack of expertise. Ryan spoke with an economist who briefly ran Bolivia's state-owned company, and he told him that they lack the know-how and technology to make the mines viable. Bolivia's government and its state mining company declined to comment.
How big of a failure is this for Bolivia?
It's a big failure. Lithium could be an important part of their economic development. And, you know, the way things are going right now, it just hasn't been so far. They've spent a lot of money on it. They're just not getting there.
Chile must be seeing what's happening in Bolivia. Are they not concerned that they might run into the same problems?
I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why Chile's kind of in this middle path at the moment, where, you know, they do have private companies operating there, you know, very large companies producing lithium. But they also, you know, they're trying to figure out kind of the best way to go about this. So I think Chile is just trying to kind of find that balance, I think, at the moment. Now they're saying that, you know, we still want to create a state lithium company, but we don't really have the expertise to do it through the government. So we're going to need to bring in partners, private companies that will have the expertise and might have the capital as well to do it.
How important is it that South America gets this right?
Oh, it's extremely important. The world needs lithium in order to transition to electric vehicles, and most of the lithium is found in South America. So unless that lithium is produced in a way that's responsible for the local environment and for local communities and for local governments, then it'll be much more difficult for the world to transition to electric vehicles. It'll be much more costly as well in that process.
Is there a chance it's already too late?
Yeah, I think so. Again, you know, when we talk about how long it takes to produce one of these mines, it's 8 years to get from building a mine to get commercial production. So it already seems a bit ambitious, some of these targets that we have. Some of the mining companies I've spoken with, they kind of believe that production will probably increase in South America, but it just won't increase at the rate that we need it in the world. So we have all these targets for the coming decade, but if we don't have the minerals, to manufacture electric vehicles, then it won't be possible.
That's all for today, Tuesday, August 16th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like the show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.